This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello and welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. No Dave Kellner this week. He's decided to take a holiday. Strange thing to do in the middle of the golf season, but never mind.
No commitment.
I'm Mark Wallen, so I'll take over for this week. I can't profess to know as much about golf as the other two, but I'll try and do my best. But luckily, Mike's still in the studio with us, so how are you, Mike?
I'm in good form, Mark. Missing Dave. I've got his photograph here on the desk. I haven't really ever.
Where is he?
In the middle, just as we're coming to the end of the season, he decides, what a slacker, to take a week's holiday. And I think, Mark, it's because I won the free lunch Monday bet last week.
I was going to come on to that.
I saw him off. He's won about 80 of the last 81. and I actually won one.
Yeah.
Do you give the listeners the details?
You went for Keimer, didn't you?
I did.
And he went for Donaldson.
Yes.
And as soon as he saw the result last week, he decided to take a holiday.
I think that's what it was. So, but a good week. Not just that, Mark, which obviously was the highlight for me, but also Bubba Watson winning, who I tipped last week, which was a bit of a... very straightforward win, no drama. Chipping in from the bunker to get an eagle on the last.
Yeah.
And then winning the playoff with a long putt. That was a little bit of a fraying the nerves job. But fair play to Bubba. He's a quality player these days. And, you know, there aren't many Americans better than him at this stage, I don't think. You know, Rory's obviously better than him, probably Adam Scott maybe. But he's right up there, Bubba, now number three in the world.
Mm. Doesn't travel well, though.
Doesn't travel well, according to Dave Kellner on last week's podcast. Poor Dave, now that he's not here, we can pick on everything he gets wrong this week. I didn't agree with that, because he was eighth in that event last year in China. He's gone on to Japan this year. He's becoming more of a world player, Bubba. People love to see him, and I think he's... he's just a better player these days. He's talented. If he puts well, everything else is pretty good.
Yeah, let's rewind 7 days and
we've got a clip.
Listen back to this.
Dave never does this, Mark.
when I
have a winner,
I'm sure he played his big winner a couple
he
of
did,
times. Didn't
he did.
Yeah. Well, let's equal the score a little bit.
My second pick is Bubba Watson, who played here last year and finished eighth. First time that he'd played the course, well, to my knowledge, anyway. Which is a pretty decent performance by Bubba. Bubba obviously hits it further than anyone else, which doesn't harm around here, I think. It's not all about driving distance. We can tell that because of some of the people who've triumphed here or played well here.
Yep.
But I don't think it harms either. So I'm willing to give Bubba a crack here. Very good at birdies. Birdie average was seventh last year on the US Tour. And remarkably, always top 25 in the greens in regulation stats as well, given he hits it so far. Finished the end of last season in decent nick, 29th in the Deutsche Bank, that second behind Billy Horschel in the BMW, and a 14th in the Tour Championship. Got that little bit of form in China to his name here, rather, last year. At 25-1, I just think Bubba will be there or thereabouts. I think he'll be certainly in the top 10 again. With a bit of luck, we'll be contending for the title.
Well, he certainly did, didn't he?
He did, yeah, that's good. So, yeah, nice to get a winner, but, enough of the self-congratulations. We'll move on. But it's nice, Dave never plays them when I win, Mark, so you can do the podcast more often.
Good, I'll enjoy coming on a few more times. But it was filled with drama, wasn't it, those last few holes anyway?
Yes, it was. It was an amazing finish, obviously. If you'd backed Tim Clark, Bubba's double bogey, and then you must be thinking, oh, we're in the money here. And, of course, he chips in to eagle the hole. I don't think anyone else eagled it on the day, or even the week, maybe even. So remarkable stuff from Bubba. That's what he's capable of. And then he held a great putt to win in the playoff as well. So it was good stuff.
Yeah. Just a quick mention of the other one as well, the Sanderson Farms Championship. Nick Taylor grabbing his first PGA Tour success.
Yeah, I have to be really honest here, Mark. And it's probably, he shouldn't say it in some ways, but I'd never even heard of this guy. He just completely passed me by. Maybe need to do a bit more work and a bit more research, but I honestly didn't, you know, when he was in the contention after a few rounds, I had to look him up just to check who he was, so his name just hadn't resonated with me at all. It just shows you actually how hard it is, you know, not just saying this, but how hard it is to pick winners, on particularly in the PGA Tour, because virtually anyone in the field can win, you know, and when you've got 156 players, which you have most weeks, there's not many of them can't win on that tour. So he's come out of nowhere, really, to change his life with that win. Great, you get entries into a lot of events. He'll be playing in Hawaii. His card for the next couple of years. So what a fantastic boost for Nick Taylor. But he wasn't a player that had really crossed my consciousness too much, I have to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Can't really blame you for that.
I'd like to know, and I should probably have asked Mark. I'd said how many odds compiler, how many people backed him before the tournament? It can't be many, can it?
I can't imagine so.
No, I should have checked that one out. I might tweet that if I find it out, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Should we move on to this week?
Yeah, let's.
Okay, we'll start with the European Tour. The Turkish Airlines Open, the betting is headed by Henrik Stenson, who is 11-1. Martin Kaymer is 12. Sergio Garcia, another one at 12-1. Jamie Donaldson, 18s. Victor de Buisson is 20-1. Ian Poulter, 22s. Alexander Levy is 25s with Juice Luton. Lee Westwood is 25s as well, so is Cole Sarts. And then 28-1 or bigger prices for the others. It's a course crafted by Colin Montgomery here. Situated in the Belek region of Turkey. It's a par 72 over 6,400 metres long, challenging fairways, and the penultimate event of the final series, following on for the BMW Masters and the WGC HSBC Champions, and pretty much the final chance for some players to secure their place in the finale in Dubai,
Mark. Yeah, correct, Mark. Yeah, absolutely. First time here last year, was 24 under, wasn't it? So you'd imagine it's going to be a low score again this year, so you've got to have your putter going, haven't you, this week, and you've got to be able to score lowly. So not a huge field, so reduced field, but as you rightly say, chance for people to get to Dubai. So I've got three picks in this one, Mark, so shall I crash on?
Yeah, crack away.
My first pick is Robert Karlsson, the Swede, who's been decent form all year. Didn't actually play in this event last year, was sixth in the event at Mayakoba that's on the US Tour, the corresponding event, yeah? So he's missing that event this year where he played ever so well last year to play here, which is a tip in itself, maybe. I don't know, there might be other reasons behind that. He was in great form in the middle of the year, Mark. He went fourth in France, eighth in Scotland, and then 12th in the Open here. So really good finishes at that time of the year. Went off the ball a little bit later on in the autumn, but was 16th in the BMW last time out, and also has a 14th in the Alfred Dunhill a couple of events before that. So bouncing back to something like his best form, a very experienced player, Carlson's been putting very well this year, which I think is obviously going to be a big factor this week. He's 8th for putts per round on the European Tour, and top 20 for putts for greens in regulation, also doing well in the one putt stat as well. So he's putting well, he's in decent form, coming back that 16th on his last outing in the BMW event, the recent BMW event. He's a bit eye-catching for me. Hasn't played, but then I don't think that's a massive factor when the rest of the field have only played here once,
yeah.
if you know, a maximum of once. So Robert Karlsson will be my first pick at 50-1, a point each way on him.
Yeah, big price, 50-1. That was one thing I was going to ask you, actually, Mike, with the fact that it's only been one event here last year. How do you approach this? Would you approach it differently?
Not really, Mark. I'd be looking for the type of skill set that tends to win here, and putting's obviously important from what we can tell from last year. It doesn't harm, obviously, to have played well here on your last event, and to be in decent course form's always pretty relevant. The stats, some tournaments you can see that maybe someone who hits the ball a mile, you know, long distance, driving distance is very important or whatever. There wasn't any standout stats from last year that I could really... It's a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
De Buisson wasn't that accurate, while other players at the top of the leaderboard, Donaldson maybe were. So I think it's just decent players who are in good nick and who can put well. I think, well, you know, if you're going to have to get to your 24 unders, you're going 6 under per round. You know, it's seriously low, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they may have made it a little bit tougher this year, would be my guess. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little bit, you know, maybe more like 20 under this year, or maybe, you know, 16-20 or something. But, you know, you're certainly going to have to go pretty low. So But yeah, the fact that it's only been 1 year means that I'm not that bothered about Carlsen's lack of course experience.
Okay. Who else fits the bill then, Mike? Who's your second pick?
Well, I'm a bit annoyed about this one, Mark, because I'm going to have to keep him in, but it was another Swede who was probably going to be my headline pick in this event at 50-1, Jonas Blixt. Well, we're recording this just after 11 o'clock, and he was cut from 50s to 40s at 10-16. Ouch. So we've lost 10 points here. Now, I only realised the price change when I was walking into the studio, so I can't really take him out. But he's still a decent bet at 40s, don't get me wrong, but he's not quite as strong as he was at 50s. I thought that was a really good price myself.
Okay.
He had been missing cuts left, right and centre, but certainly I think he had three on the trot until recently. But bounced back with a fifth in the match play in the Volvo, where he played really well. Then 13th in the CIMB Classic and 14th last week in the HSBC event, the WGC event. This guy really can put a great putter. 6th for putts per round on the European Tour, 7th for one putts, and top 30 for putts for greens in regulation, which is basically saying he can go low. Very good player. Let's not forget that this guy was second in the Masters this year. Hmm. He's a quality player, fourth in the USPGA last year. Slightly underrated, I think. You know, that's cracking form. You know, he can go low, he can putt well. He played here last year and didn't do quite as well as I'd have expected. He was 29th. But scored 12 under and really messed up in the second round where he shot a 74. You can't do that here. You shoot anything like that in this event, I don't think you're gonna win, you know. You've got to have four low rounds. So he did make the top 30. If that had been if, and if's a big word, if he'd have done better in the second round, he'd have been much nearer.
Yeah,
the likes of Dubuis on and Donaldson at the top. But Jonas Blixt, I've got to stick with him. I don't think 40s is a bad price. But stating the obvious, it's not as good as 50s.
and the fact that he did have a look around the course last year, and he'll learn from that mistake, won't he?
He's a good player. He's a top player. He's, you know, his course form, his current form rather, Mark, is 5, 13 and 14, as I've just said. And, you know, he's a player that's a little bit underestimated. Played superb at Augusta this year, and he's the type of player who can win a major. He's got bottle.
Okay, good stuff. Have you got another one here?
Yeah, well, I've gone. That's two Swedes I've picked in this event, yeah, isn't it? So, decided to go to France for my third pick, Mark. A little bit of a speculative, not speculative pick, but this guy was on my naughty step, mate, Raphael Jacquelin. I was going off him a little bit, but I'm giving him one more chance to prove me right. Whenever I pick him, he seems to play moderately, but he's building up a reasonable run of form. He was 11th in the KLM, decent in Wales, top 20 in the Alfred Dunhill, where he had an awful final round, really. Should have finished much higher than 18th in that. A couple of missed cuts then in Portugal and the last event he played would put you off a little bit. But in between those, he was 9th in Hong Kong. So I'm just going to give him a chance to just show that, you know, he may be... that he's maybe worth, I mean, he's 100-1, Mark. Now, the key fact is, the one thing I haven't said so far, which almost is fundamental to his chance, actually, was he was 5th in this last year. Yeah, he putted really well, played very well in it last year. He can blow hot and cold, and he's a little bit inconsistent, I have to say. That's my fear about him. He just will do a bit like he did at the Alfred Dunhill, go very well for three rounds and throw in an absolutely... horrendous round, as he did in his last event in Perth in Australia, where he missed the cut in the ISPS event. He shot 70 in the first round, then went 75 in the second round a couple of weeks ago. So he needs to do better than that. But I'm thinking of that top 10 in Hong Kong in his penultimate event, and the top 20 that he had in the two events before that, and just thinking that this guy seems to like the course, can really decent putting stats again for him this season, and at 100-1, I think he's worth an each way poke.
Okay, so we've got three there so far: Jacquelin, Blixt, and Carlsen. Any more there before we move on?
Yeah, there were quite a number of players could play well here, Mark. George Kurtz was on my mind, but probably doesn't quite win enough for a 33-1 shot. He was 12th here last year. I bet he'll be around about the top 10 again, and he might go closer this year. But he can put well. And he's a really good player, but he's always a bit short in the betting. Shane Lowry's a player I've backed a few times this year, and wouldn't surprise me to see him go quite well this week. He's drifted out a little bit in the market. He was on my mind. And Bernd Wiesberger, 7th here last year, 13th last time out, 33-1. I like the Austrian, good player, could well run a big race this week.
Okay. And just looking at the top end of the market there, Mike, the Turkish Airlines Open website are keen to point out as well that half the field, or almost half the field, from the European Ryder Cup team are in action here.
Yeah.
They've got a pretty decent lineup, haven't they, to say it's on the second year of the event?
Yeah, no, the prize money is good, and it's obviously that, you know, it's the penultimate event of the European Tour, so it's nicely situated. It'd be good to see it. It looked a good course last year. It'd be good to see it thrive. I'd like to see a little bit of a lower winning score than 24 under. That makes it a little bit of a, you know, a putting contest, I think.
Yeah.
Just like to see it a little bit more difficult this year, and I think it probably will be. But I'm totally guessing there. I'm not informed. You know, that's not any great information or anything. But I just have a feeling. Stenson, yeah, Garcia and Keimer at the top end of the market, and Dave's favourite, Jamie Donaldson, they're the top four in the betting. How is Donaldson fourth here? I mind you, he was second last year, to be fair to him. He almost won it last year. So, but yeah, the top three there are quality players. Martin Keimer, he went in the water at the last at the weekend, and he'd have been a little bit closer to winning if it wasn't for that. So his final position of six is slightly misleading. He was trying to win the event. Debuisson won it last year as well. Let's not forget him. And Poulter played well here as well. So it's a very strong lineup. You're right. There's a lot of quality in it.
Okay. Anything else to add before we move on?
No, they're the main guys there. I'm happy with my three picks there. A couple of solid ones. I'd like the 50-1 Blixt and Jacques Allan. Actually, the more I think about it, that 100-1 is it's a reduced field. Good current form and good form here last year. Yeah, he's definitely worth a point each way, the same as the other two.
Good stuff. The OHL Classic next, then let's move on to that one. And Harris English and Robert Streb, the 20-1 joint favourites. Harris English winning this last year, of course, setting a 72-hole record with a total of 263. It's then 25-1 for Ben Martin. Chris Stroud is 28. Brian Stewart, 33-1 with Charles Howell and Jason Bourne and Mark Wilson. And then 33s also for Rory Sabatini and Russell Knox. And then 40s or bigger for the others. The course here, the El Chameleon, or the Chameleon, is a 2004 Greg Norman creation. It winds through tropical jungle, dense mangroves and sand-lined oceanfront along the Riviera Maya. It's the first PGA Tour event to be outside of the US or Canada, setting history in 2007. And with the new schedule, it's the first time that the winner of the Maya Coba earns 500 FedEx Cup points and a Masters invitation, Mike. So
they're getting the Masters if they win this, do they? Right, I didn't know that. Yeah, well, you might have expected a slightly better feel than they've got. It's a decent rather than a stellar feel this week, you'd have to say. Most of the big guns aren't there, but that gives lots of other guys a chance. And it is a really interesting event, I have to say. There's a good mix of players in there, so it's a chance for other people to, to get that Masters, get to Augusta and what have you. It's really pivotal in some of these guys' careers. If they can get into the big events, get decent finishes, helps with FedEx points and all sorts. So looking forward to it.
Good, and the fact that there's, like you say, it's not an absolutely stellar field. There's no real standout 20-1 joint favourites. It makes it interesting from a betting perspective as well.
Absolutely. I've had four bets in this, which is more than I usually have, but Dave's not here this week, so I don't feel too guilty. Just four bets. Because if we both had four, me and him, that'd be eight bets in an event. It'd be ridiculous.
You'd have half the field, wouldn't
you? We would, yeah. So you'd be claiming a winner at 25-1, and actually on stakes, you might be only winning a couple of quid. Yeah. So we tried to keep our selections down a little bit. But this week, just because I'm on my own, I have gone a little bit doolally, and I've had an extra one or two.
Okay.
Shall I tell you what my kind of thoughts were on this? Super imaginative here. It's clearly a track where experienced ball strikers play well. And you've got to go low. I think it was 21-1 here last year. So you've got to put well as well. But yeah, reasonable mix of accuracy off the tee and good greens in regulation, good ball strikers. Experienced players tend to play well here, albeit that the last couple of years are somewhat younger guys. But yeah, you've had guys like Mark Wilson have won here, and Cameron Beckman, guys like that. So that was my That was my strategy. Mark Wilson is a guy I've mentioned the last couple of events, and he's got finished top tens. In fact, I backed him, not tipped him, but backed him, and he's crashed in the betting down to 33-1. So Mark Wilson, who I talked to in the car park last night, I think he's been picking my brains in that car park.
Yeah,
he's putting all my players in short, Matt, isn't he?
Mark Hadshead.
Yeah. He has him down as his keep. I'm joking, really. He has him. He has him down as his keep in this event. And who was it in the other one?
It was Brandon Grace.
Brandon Grace he fancied in that. But yeah, I saw Mark last night, and he was looking forward to the end of the US Tour. But he's got Mark Wilson in very short, so we've had to dump him off the list. That's cutting to the chase. He's off the list.
Okay.
So shall I start with the ones that I have picked rather than waffling about one I haven't? Russell Knox is my main pick here, Mark. He's from Scotland, obviously, but based over in America. 33-1. Again, I'm a little bit, I wouldn't say he's my headline. They're all about level, these guys. I think 33-1 is reasonable value about this guy. I think he's a class above most of these, you know. Indecent Nick was third in the Shriners. Missed the cut in the McGladrey, but then played well in the Sanderson. Reasonable finish. Was solid at the back end of last year in the playoffs as well. Very good ball striker, 23rd on the ball striking stats on last year's US Tour. Very accurate off the tee, good greens in regulation. Ticks all those boxes. Played here twice as well, which will help. And whilst he hasn't gone close to winning or contending even, two finishes around about 30th place will do for me. I think he can build on those. He's a better player now. He's settling in on this tour. I think Russell Knox could. This is just a kind of event that will that'll be right up his street. So he's my first pick at 33s.
Okay, Russell Knox, 33s. Would it be point each way?
On all of these. Well, the first three, and the fourth one is a bit of an outsider. So,
okay.
But the next two are definitely point each way as well. Second one being Brendan Steele, a guy who I've picked before on the podcast, was 16th in his debut in this event last year. So that's a good start, top 20. Has been in... Yeah, just under the radar form, a bit like Knox, actually, to a degree. 21st in the Fries, 33rd in the Shriners, and 61st in the Sanderson at the weekend, which could have been a little bit better, but has probably helped his price a little bit. Steele hits the ball a decent way, but still manages to be 45th on the ball striking stats on the tour last year. So he's obviously pretty decent greens and regulation stats also. Decent putter when he's on form as well. You know, when he's an aggressive player, he's a guy who can get birdies, and you'll need those this week. Steele, a past winner on tour. He knows how to do it. He knows how to get the job done, and I like that. That's something that matters to me. I think at 52-1 in this field, I think he's a decent price.
Okay. Third pick?
Third pick is a past winner of this event, a guy who won it the year before last, John Huh. Hmm. He won it, as I say, in 2013, and then last year he was 23rd. Actually, he won it in 2012, didn't he? It's so confusing, this. They've moved the events, which year events. He won it in February. The event was played in February 2012, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And last year's was the first one of these events that was played at this time of year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
November 2013, paradoxically part of... 2014 season, wasn't it? Yeah. It's confusing. It is.
It is.
But yeah, so anyway, his last two finishes here. He won when it was played in February 2012, 23rd last year, about this time of year. Hasn't kicked on really in the last year or so. Been a bit disappointed with his overall form, but he's similar profile to all of my players really this week in the OHL. He's kind of knocking on the door, under the radar type form, you might call it. Not quite getting in contention, but playing well enough, making the cut, showing that there might be better to come, I guess.
Yeah.
28th in the Shriners, 48th McGladrey, 25th in the Sanderson. So all positive kind of finishes without being breathtaking. Did get a good finish in the Barracuda at the back end of last season, which is probably only about 3 months ago in Reno, where he was tied third. Decent ball striker, very accurate off the tee. I like his chances as a pass winner. He seems to, he's a player who does like to play well at the same course. He's a bit of, He's that type of player. Some of these courses are too long for him, but this place isn't. And at 50-1, he makes a lot of appeal at that price.
Okay. So those are your three main ones. You've got
I've got one outsider, 125-1 shot, JJ Henry, who hasn't clearly been playing fantastically well over the last year or two, but does play well at this Mayakoba event. He's a Texan, so not a million miles from Mexico, clearly. A very good ball striker, and his form figures here are worth taking note of. He finished the last five events,
yep.
He's finished second, 48th, 19th, 9th, and 23rd. So four top 25s out of five isn't bad for 125-1 shot. You know, in the second in there, as I say, in 2009. His current form would be the worry, obviously. He was 43rd in the Sanderson at the weekend. He's a couple of missed cuts out of the events before that. But he did make all of his last six cuts of the year of the previous season, so the one that ended in September there. So, and maybe bouncing back to a little bit of form. Won two or three years ago in Reno, a couple of wins on tour to his name, so again, a winner. Decent ball striker, there or thereabouts in the ball striking stats. I think he was top 10 actually in that stat on the tour last year, and fifth for greens in regulation. His Achilles heel? Putting. That's what he needs. That's where, if he puts like he has been doing, he might miss the cut. If he can be inspired by the Mayakoba greens again and puts anything like decent, he could go very well at 125s. That's a risk you're taking.
Yeah, you're getting a price to compensate for that.
You are indeed.
Good. Okay. Well, we've been through your selections there. What would be your strongest bet?
Out of the OHL event or over both?
We could do over both if you want.
I would say the strongest bet. That's a good question, Mark. What would be my strongest bet? Probably Jonas Blix would have been at 50s, I think. I like Robert Carlson. Yeah, I like those. Yeah, those two would be my two. The Mexican event is a little bit more tricky, but they would be my main two. I did actually look at another Swede for the OHL. Freddy Jakobsen crossed my mind. Not the best, not the most accurate, but a lovely putter. He's got decent finishes here the last couple of years, but nah, I just went off him. He's been cut as well, strangely enough.
Mm.
And at a very big price, Ben Curtis is worth a little watch. He's coming back to form, I think, and a short player, but again, this course could suit. But yeah, I would say over the two events, at the price is Carlson, yeah.
Okay, who don't you want to win?
Oh, good question. I would say Wiesberger or Lowry probably in the European, and Jakobsen in the, I was going to say American, but it's Mexican, isn't it?
So,
yeah, the Mexican event, I would go for Jakobsen.
Okay, good stuff, Mike. Yep. Anything else to add before we go?
No. Just Twitter, Mark. It's at mgrenham. I will maybe tweet any bets that I have over the weekend, and maybe have a look at that fact that we were talking about earlier on. At D. Kellner, I don't think he'll be tweeting anything this week. He never does anyway.
No.
About the golf.
He's sulking. Bets.
Yeah, he might be sulking, yeah. And do you want to tell people your Twitter address?
Yeah, at MarkWalton88. I'll try my best to help you out. If I can't, I'll just ask Mike. So.
Good. Well, so we've got a couple of good events, Mark, and we'll see. I mean, it's hotting up also. One thing I should mention is the golf Twitter tipster competition that I think finishes pretty shortly. So you guys need to get their entries in for that and see if they can steal the top prize.
And their Twitter address is at Golf Twit Tipster.
That's right,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. So I always Google GTT Twitter and it tends to come up. So, there's a few guys who've done exceptionally well in that.
Okay. Good stuff, Mike. It's been a pleasure to join in.
Nice to have you aboard, Mark. Thank you for stepping in.
Thank you. Good luck and enjoy it this week.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.